16th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 1, we read these words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is God's holy, infallible word. If you would turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, I'd like to ask you to follow as I read the 24th Lord's Day, question and answer 62, 63, and 64, and our thoughts this evening as we continue the exposition of the Heidelberg Catechism will focus on that which we find especially in question 64. Question 62, why cannot our good works be whole or part of our righteousness before God? Because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect, and in all respects conformable to the divine law. And also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. What do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? This reward is not of merit, but of grace. And then question 64, but doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? By no means. For it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. I would give emphasis to what the catechism writer says in that answer, and I think it's so clear it hardly needs explanation, but really that's what we're going to do as we look at John 15 tonight. The answer to the question, does this make us careless or profane, which is often something that is suggested if we believe in these doctrines that we're saved by grace, by the righteousness of Christ alone, not by any of our works. Our works do not contribute anything to our salvation. The previous two questions have dealt with that. And then this is the conclusion. It is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Putting that in a positive way, a true believer will always bring forth fruits of thankfulness, or if you will, the title of our message this evening, there will be spiritual productivity. Our text from John's Gospel may be called the secret of fruitfulness, for in it Jesus discloses through this brilliant illustration the relationship that believers ought to have with him. And that is the very foundation and source of that spiritual productivity, that fruitfulness that exists in the life of a Christian. It's an arresting imagery that cannot be neglected from the larger context in which Jesus gives his disciples the great mission to follow him, to be his followers, to obey him, and thus to glorify God. You cannot glorify God. You cannot produce spiritual fruit. You cannot do any of these things apart from being intimately united and connected to Jesus Christ. And that's what he begins with as he opens in this passage in chapter 15 of John's Gospel with these words and says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." He begins with an illustration that is perhaps well known to us, but was indeed more well known to the people to whom he wrote and spoke in the days of the scripture, and particularly to the people of Israel who lived in that holy land and knew well what it meant to be vine dressers and to be those who cared for the beautiful trees that produced the fruit, which was a staple of life itself. In fact, scripture is abundant with illustrations of using the vine as an illustration of the fact that we belong to God. The psalmist in Psalm 80 says of Israel that they are a vine and that they are a part of his vineyard. That is, God looked at them as though they were his special vineyard and he took care of them. And he takes that vine out of Egypt, the psalmist says, and he plants it in this new land, having cleared out the land and made room for it. But God not only planted Israel there, he cultivated the vine. And this imagery is there in the psalm, Psalm 80. And it is so much a part of the life of the people of the ancient Near East that we find even in ancient coins that have been discovered that were minted during the rebellion against Rome in 68 AD, that is 68 after Christ, and 68 to 70 AD, they, like our coins today, had symbols on the coins. And what do you think you found on a symbol of a coin? You found a vine. There was meaning behind that. They were identifying with what the psalmist said. The whole point of the vine is that the vine exists to bear fruit. And Israel existed to bear fruit for God. The mission of Israel was bound up with God's purpose for redemption. The mission of Israel was to be a light to the nations, the Gentiles. Jesus comes, and in time and in history, he comes and declares that he is the light of the world. He's carrying out the mission of the people of Israel, which Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 45 and 46 had said was to be the light to the world, the light of the Gentiles. And through Jesus, the disciples then are commissioned to carry on that missionary activity of the kingdom of God in bearing the message of God to the world. And to do that, they needed to be connected to Jesus like the branches are connected to the vine. Because the vine is a strong link to the fruit-bearing missionary function of these disciples. And you know what vine and branch relationships are all about. The life is not in the branch, it's in the vine. The branch, if it were severed from the vine, would soon wither and die because it receives its life from being rooted to the vine, that is connected to the vine. And Christ says in this passage, you need to be connected to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 5. Don't get that mixed up. Jesus is the one who is the very source of life. If you're connected to him, you're connected to the source of life. If you're connected to the source of life, you're connected to the source of fruitfulness that will give you all of the nourishment, all of the necessities that are needed in order to be able to produce fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. He also says, if you do not produce and if you are separated from him, then you are without power and without spiritual life. Here in this passage, Jesus talks about the vine and the vine dresser, and he involves us in this mission which the disciples are called to be a part of, and includes us as well. We must be connected to him. We must have that life of Jesus communicated to us. Through Christ, life comes to us, and there is a oneness between root and branch then that communicates grace and holiness and power and strength and hope and blessing from the Holy Spirit who dwells among God's people, bringing grace and salvation, strength, and the presence of God into our lives. But apart from being connected to Jesus, there is no life. So we must be connected to the vine. And we remember that that's really what the Heidelberg Catechism said, isn't it? When it says in the answer, it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ, that's connected to Christ, the vine. It's impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith, in other words, by true faith, connected to Christ, it's impossible that they should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. The Catechism rests on this passage for that very truth. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're connected to him, you're connected to the vine, you're connected to the source of life, then you will have life, because life is in the vine. Connected to the vine, we receive life. Union between the vine and the branches is what we find in those words that Jesus uses in this passage when he says, in me. When he says, in me, he is highlighting, he is underscoring the living union that exists between those who have a true faith, who believe in Jesus, and the Lord of glory. It's a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Christ has gathered a community of people through his word, the word of the gospel, redeemed them by grace and purified them by his righteousness, granted them access to God the Father, and given us through the work of the Holy Spirit a confidence that we are accepted in the beloved and that we belong to the family of God. That's what life in the vine is. We belong to the Lord. Our relationship now to the world has changed. We are no longer a part of this world. We belong to God. While we still live in this world, God has called us to be ambassadors for his kingdom. An ambassador. That's what Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians. We are ambassadors for Christ. Well, what does an ambassador do? Well, it's the job of an ambassador to represent the country that has called him to be an ambassador. So one of the news this past week, I believe it was, said that the Senate confirmed John F. Kennedy's daughter, Carolyn Kennedy, to be the ambassador to Japan. Now, when she goes, she's confirmed, so she is the ambassador to Japan. When she goes over to Japan, who does she represent? She represents the United States of America, not Carolyn Kennedy. She represents the government of the United States of America. She does not represent her own partisan interests. She is a representative who is called to represent us there, our interests, whatever they may be, to the people of Japan, and to be an assistance to those who are in that country from our own country. That's what you are, and that's what I am. I am called to be an ambassador to this world. So where you live, you are living in, as it were, a foreign country, because now you belong to God. We have been taken from this world system, and we belong now to the kingdom that is coming. And we belong to the king who has called us to be his royal heralds and his royal ambassadors. And we have a message that we are to bring to this world. That message is the good news that Jesus died and saved sinners by his grace and power through his finished work on Calvary's cross, who was sent by the Father into the world, who says in his ministry, even so send I you. So, Mr. or Mrs. Ambassador, that's your job, to bear the message of Jesus Christ into this world. If you have life, in Christ, connected to him, vine connected to the branch, then you have life in Christ, and life in the vine, the very essence of that life is that we tell the world about Jesus. Now, Jesus addresses in this passage the potential of that vine and branch relationship, in which there may be cases of some fruitlessness. And there are barriers to fruitlessness that exist. Poor nutrients in the soil will many times cause a poor productivity in the vine and in the branch. Insects and disease will cause problems for trees. My apple tree, my lonely apple tree, the only one in my backyard, it had dozens and dozens and dozens of apples, and I came and looked at it the first time I went back into the new backyard that we came, and I go, oh great, and I pull an apple off of the tree and I turn it and I see there's a hole. And there's lots of little holes. There were lots of little visitors because no one had cared for my tree. They didn't take care of my tree. It needs to be sprayed or something. I have to look it up. I'll have to ask for some help and wisdom from somebody who knows. But next year I want my tree to be productive of good, solid, luscious apples, free from bugs, because I don't like bugs and insects and the things that they do to my apples, much like the bugs and the insects of spiritual nature, like ongoing sin, unresolved past issues that lead to spiritual ineffectiveness, because like a worm, those things crawl into our souls, and though we may look good on the outside, when God sees us as the fruit that we are for his kingdom, he turns and he sees there's a worm that's been visiting here. It shouldn't have been there. It needs some care. Sometimes years of pruning are needed for trees to be productive, and Jesus speaks of that. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I guess not being a farmer, not being too acquainted with farming practices, it strikes me that you prune a tree in order to help it grow better and be more productive. You don't prune a tree because it lacks certain things. There's a constant pruning process that's necessary. A friend of mine in Michigan had an orchard. He was an old timer from the old country, and he brought some of those practices over to the United States when he settled here, and he would graft on branches and take time to these little branches and get them to grow. But there was the pruning, and I just thought that owning an orchard meant you just went out and you picked apples. You know, they grow on trees. Go out there and pick them. I didn't realize the enormous amount of work that goes into pruning. There's an enormous amount of work that goes into God's pruning in your life. He's got to prune. Sometimes he prunes with suffering. Sometimes he prunes with great trials. But his pruning of our spiritual life is to make us more productive. His pruning is to increase our complete and our absolute dependence upon our vital connection and relationship to the branch, the vine and the branch connected. We are united to Jesus. He's our all. It's in him that we find our strength. Vines need constant attention, otherwise fruitfulness will not occur. God will never forsake us. God will always care for us, and he will always be working in us. And the danger is being separated from the vine. That's the real barrier to being fruitful. Because as Jesus says, if you're not connected to me, you cannot be fruitful. Life is in the vine. And that life is the life of serving God. That's what Jesus says as he ends that passage. He says, and so, if you do these things and bear much fruit, verse 8, you will prove to be my disciples. But let's look thirdly at the product of the vine. What is it that the gardener does? Well, we've talked already about the fact that he improves the vine by cutting away. In winter, the vine dresser will cut off the dry, the withered branches. In spring, he removes the useless growth and he clears off and he cleans up. That's kind of the work in a nutshell, I guess, of my friend who was in the big orchard that he had, and maybe you do that with your trees, and that's what God does with you and me. He clears off things. He cleans up things. There are things in our life that he needs to remove, ugly things. That's what's left from sin. That which, as we read in Scripture and in the catechisms, that which still clings to us. God needs to clean it up, because unless he has a vine that is connected to the branch and that branch is connected to the vine and there's nothing that interferes with it, that branch will not bear fruit. And he wants fruitful, fruit-bearing branches. Fruitless branches have no value to the vine dresser. Jesus said the Lord, the Father, will take them away and they will be burned up, because their only good purpose, if they're not bearing fruit, is fuel. They become fuel for fire. You can't even use them to serve as a peg to hang your hat on, because those branches are all gnarly and twisted. So you just toss them in the fire. And the pruning and the cutting, the dead wood, is what God does, using hard circumstances, trials in our lives. And James talks about that when he says, you know, count it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds. We're going to look at James someday, the Lord willing. That's a tremendously difficult text to address, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for the trial you brought. You know, I have known only one person that has ever praised God for trials and prayed for trials, because this dear saint knew that it was through the trials that her faith was being perfected and purified. That's what James is talking about. Count it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds. Why? Because the trial of your faith will bring forth the mighty harvest of righteousness. That's what God is doing. He's the vine dresser. He is pruning. He's cutting. He is caring for us so that above all we may remain in Christ, so that we may have the life that we need to bear fruit. Remember, Jesus goes on in this passage to say, remain in me. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Turn that around and it says, everything depends on Christ. That's the fundamental truth that Jesus is bringing to the attention of his disciples, to us. That's the fundamental truth that's underscored in the Heidelberg Catechism. It is impossible for anyone who is truly united by true faith to Jesus Christ, it is impossible for them not to be fruit-bearing or bear fruit for the kingdom. Jesus tells us that if you are in him, you'll bear fruit, and that relationship to him is fundamental for it, and a continual dependence upon him is necessary to bear fruit for the glory of God. And it underscores the fact that it's only Christ's work in us that brings about things that glorify God. That's why God can use us, because he uses us. We don't have to sit back and do a sort of a mental inventory of, wonder how I can serve God and do something great for His kingdom. And we don't have to take an inventory of our own abilities and an inventory of our own capabilities, our own strengths, because all of our strengths are nothing. They are weakness. All of our abilities are given by God in the first place. God uses weak sinners. God uses imperfect people to carry out His purpose so that we might bring forth fruit for His kingdom. Jesus says we have to be connected to Him. If you remain in me, if you obey my commandments, he says later in verse 10, you will remain in my love. That's the only way we can know if we're bearing fruit and if we're bringing forth a harvest of righteousness, if we are submitting to written scripture and obeying the commandments of God. That is how we remain in God's love. Remaining is not reduced to some subjective, mystical feeling of some inner state. Abiding in Christ is found in the objective obedience to the Word of God and how we submit to His Word, what we do for Christ. That's what brings about real spiritual productivity. And then let me close with these thoughts. There are several things that are impossible, and I want to list them for you, because that was a word that was used by the writer of the Catechism as he discussed the subject of bringing forth fruits, and as he rests on this important teaching of the 15th chapter of John's Gospel and the passage that we've looked at where Jesus talks about spiritual productivity. I'm struck by the word that the Catechism writer uses. It is impossible. That's pretty clear. That's conclusive that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits. That just can't be, he says. There are several other impossibles as well. I would suggest it's impossible, absolutely impossible, to love God unless you're born again, connected to the vine. It's absolutely impossible to be right with God apart from being related to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And it's absolutely impossible to be grafted onto Christ and not produce the fruits of righteousness. That's saying what the Catechism writer said just a little differently. Or more clearly, it's impossible to be a Christian without doing good works. It's impossible to be in Christ and not live a life of gratitude. Because if those things are going on, and if that is the case, then the conclusion of Scripture is that, the conclusion of Christ is that we're really not connected to Him. See, if you want real production of spiritual fruitfulness, real production will survive pruning, because pruning, as we said, only leads to further productivity. The knife is sharp, it hurts, the tendrils bleed when they are cut and when they are attached. But the reason that they are cut, the reason they are attached, the reason the vine dresser does the pruning is necessary so that the branch that is connected to the vine may bear more fruit. And the reason that God is pruning our lives is so that we may be productive for Him. There is no stroke that will be too deep if it helps us to serve the Lord. God only gives us what we need, and He knows what is best for us. But we must remember that that productivity comes through abiding in Christ. And to do that, we must be empty of ourselves. We must be filled with Christ so that the life of Christ may come into our lives by continual thought, by love, desire, and obedience in submission of our will to the will of God, God's will. That's why the Lord taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," so that we may know that we are here as His ambassadors, those who are connected to the vine, the branch, for the very purpose of bearing fruit for His glory. We ought to be thankful that our Heavenly Father is a busy gardener. We're His garden, as it were. He's shaping us. He's molding us. He's determining our lives. He's pruning. He's caring for us, so that as we are connected to the vine, we will bear fruit for the glory of God. And I have to say that the catechism writer was spot on. It's impossible, if you have true faith in Christ, not to bear fruit for the glory of God. So we need to look at our lives and ask, how is that work of bearing fruit going in our lives? Are we bearing fruit for the glory of God, connected to Christ, vitally united to Him by faith? If so, then He is working in us and through us to bring about His purposes for His glory. Amen.